From WKAR at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports with Al Martin.
Johnny Peralta lines one to right field for a base hit.
Miguel Cabrera, game-winning walk-off home run.
The champagne is flowing in the Tigers clubhouse.
I would have never, ever thought that I would have been in the Michigan Hall of Fame as a kid when I first picked up a basketball on 512 Gray Street in Flint, Michigan.
Thomas drives to the left side, goes up and banks it in. Jasmine Thomas.
Just the joy you get from watching like a JV wrestler getting his first match ever. That makes it worthwhile as a coach.
It's a fake. Bates is going to throw. Touchdown! Michigan State wins it in overtime!
Yes, it's that time once again, baby. It's May 29th, 2013, and welcome to Current Sports on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3. East Lansing with me, Al Martin. It has certainly been a rainy couple of days. Hope you all are staying dry. We have another great show for you all. We'll talk about a story, local high school coach who decided to step down yesterday. A pitcher's duel out at Comerica led to an extra inning heartbreaker for the Tigers. And tragic news concerning one of the greatest college quarterbacks of all time. We'll also wrap up our two-part series on sports injuries this week. We'll dive into the topic of concussions and the changes being made to protect athletes. Stay tuned. Current Sports starts now. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. As custom, before we kick off the show, a big thanks goes out to all of you out there who have been tuning into your radios, listening faithfully, day in and day out to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Be a part of the hands-on discussion each and every day. Follow me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartin@wkr.org. Hit us up, ladies and gents. We want to hear what's on your mind. So, we begin today's show by hitting on a topic that's been making quite a buzz due to its increased knowledge over the years. Concussions. Yes, sports have been changing on how they approach injuries to the head. Now, sports like boxing, soccer, hockey, they're constantly evolving on how they handle these injuries. But there is one sport that is catching a lot of heat due to what many feel is a lack of awareness throughout the years. Football. That's right, currently there are thousands of former NFL players suing the league due to its lack of caution that has resulted in them suffering from brain traumatic disorders like dementia, Alzheimer's, short-term memory loss, some cases so bad that some have sadly committed suicide, like former NFL linebacker Junior Seau, who decided to take his life after learning he had degenerative brain disease. But on today's show, we're going to talk with a representative from a national program called Heads Up Football. Yes, this program is designed to educate youth football coaches and players about how they play the game safely, minimizing the risk of a possible concussion on the field.
The terms we'll be using include feet, wings, sink, and arms. Let's take a look at each of these words as they relate to teaching the breakdown position. Feet means that the players need to spread their feet shoulder-width apart. Wings means that the player should raise their arms behind their back as high as possible, with their palms up, while simultaneously keeping their upper torso straight. When I use the word sink, it means that players need to keep their arms raised behind their backs and slowly bend their knees while sinking their hips and creating an inward curve of the spine that forces the head up. Players should stop sinking once their waist is at 45 degrees and their chin is up and over their toes. Arms means that the player should place their elbows at their side with their hands just above their knees, making sure to keep their chest spread and shoulder blades pinched to ensure an inward curve of the spine.
Yes, those are just one of the examples that Heads Up Football is trying to educate the youth. And so today, joining us now on Current Sports is Mike Cuzzoni, USA Football Regional Manager and Heads Up Football Representative. Mike, thanks so much for coming on the show, bud.
Oh, thanks for having me, Al. Happy to be here.
Thank you, man. I got to ask you, we're going to take this bit by bit. Looking at concussions right now concerning the NFL and football in general, what mistakes have been made over the years?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the mistakes, I wouldn't really call them mistakes. I think it's more just learning about, concussion-related injuries. I mean, we're learning more and more, the medical field, learning more and more, we're trying to relay down to the youth level. And again, I know the NFL is doing the same at their level of play, is, bring the latest findings in the medical field to the sports field. So, when we look at it now, maybe things that were done 10, 20 years ago may seem like mistakes, but again, these are being corrected. And as we continue to, to learn more about the brain and about concussion-related injuries, we are, bringing that knowledge down into the sport of football.
Now for you, for Mike, looking at the NFL, when was that moment when the NFL really said, hey, we need to really look at this because this is a problem? When was that moment or time period?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak, on the NFL's behalf on that, but I think it's more of a continued process here. You mentioned some of the lawsuits that are being out there. I mean, just the brutality of the game, some of the hits that were being made, seeing reactions on the field for players that took unnecessary hits to the head. The sequence that followed that. Really came at a point in time, and not just at the NFL level, but all levels where, participation was starting to drop, and, a lot of these issues really need to be addressed now to, make sure that the NFL is as popular as it is, 10, 20 years from now as it is now, making sure that these athletes that are playing are having a great time playing the game, continue to come back every year and develop.
People, we're talking with Mike Cuzzoni, USA Football Regional Manager and Heads Up Football Representative. Now, first, Mike, let's talk about what exactly, for all the listeners out there, describe what a concussion is.
Yeah, a concussion is, a brain injury. It can happen in numerous different ways. One misconception out there is, you have to be knocked unconscious to get a concussion. That is not the fact at all. I believe it's around 10% of concussions actually result in the person suffering that concussion being knocked unconscious. So it's really a movement of the brain. The brain's going to start to swell a little bit, of just the healing process, that takes place thereafter.
Gotcha. So how do you know if you have one? What are some of those symptoms?
That's the big point right now, and that's what we're trying to, portray out to parents and coaches throughout the youth football community. Is we're working with the CDC and everything that we do, and they have signs and symptoms that are part of our, part of our education. Again, and the tricky part is a lot of the signs and symptoms, they follow suit with some other injuries. Just a basic headache is the number one symptom that comes up in a player. But there are a lot of different reasons why a player may or may not have a headache. So there's a lot, really focusing in on a number of different signs and symptoms. Again, being knocked unconscious is, right away, that one's an easy one.
Right.
The ones that are hard to recognize, again, if you have, you have some sort of a headache, if you may be just acting different than you normally act, that's why what we're trying to do is really getting the parents involved as much as they can. They know their kids more than anyone, so if it's something that their kid just doesn't look right on the field, or even if it's after the game and they're just acting differently than they normally act, that's something that they need, can signal to them that they may or may not have a concussion, sensitivity to light, a lot of different signs and symptoms that, that need to be understood by coaches to, have a full understanding.
Right. So the problem right now is, some of these symptoms are, can be seen with other injuries, and that's kind of where that gray area is then right now, huh?
No, that's definitely correct. And that's, coaches sometimes are put in some hard, hard situations. A player comes out and says they have a concussion, or, say they have a head injury. We need to, really play on the safe side right now. If ever there's doubt on the field, sit the player out, get a trained professional to take a look at that player, because once there is a concussion, if a player goes back onto the field, that's when some of these long-term effects can really kick in, is, getting hit continuously in the head when the brain is trying to heal.
Gotcha. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Mike Cuzzoni, USA Football Regional Manager and Heads Up Football Representative. Now, this is another question I have for you, Mike. When you look at youth football, and when a big hit happens on a kid and he comes out, what's the criteria to allow that kid to go back in the game? What kind of test does he have to pass to be termed fit to go back out there?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Yeah, it's Most of these youth leagues, they're not set up like the NFL where they have a training staff on the sideline and they're going through a number of tests to have that, player go back onto the field or not. So that's a lot what this Heads Up Football program is designed. We're asking specific questions. If a kid comes off, looks like he got hit and has, a potential concussion, then in a perfect world with youth football, there'd be a trainer on the sideline. Not always the case, though. Demographics, other aspects come into play, and sometimes the coach has to sit there, talk with the player, and this is where the main thing is. If there's ever any kind of doubt, the player needs to come out of the game right away. The health and safety of every youth football player, that's USA Football's number one priority. That should be every league in this country's number one priority for their players, that are on the field, taking part in their league. So again, when you get that player out, if they have a potential headache, have them go get a drink of water, sit down for a second, try to address the situation from there. Again, it might just be a lack of fluids in the system, so his head starts hurting.
Right.
Maybe the helmet's on a little bit too tight. A number of different reasons, but, at first, get that player out of the game, onto the sideline, and then through heads-up football, again, we have some, if it's maybe a more severe type concussion, we have some questions to ask, but we're actually going to try to get some responses from these players to make sure that they still understand they're playing football. You ask the quarter, the score of the game, who they're playing against, number of different questions that can be asked. And then again, if that trained professional is on the sideline, that's a priority to have right now for these youth leagues, because they're the ones that are qualified to make some of these decisions if a player can't go on a field.
Definitely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Mike Cozzoni, USA Football Regional Manager and Heads Up Football representative. So let's dive into Heads Up Football. What is Heads Up Football, and how to get started, Mike?
Well, it started, I think, about last summer for the most part. It's really, an initiative, carried, from the NFL through the CDC, through USA Football, a number of different, parties that are involved in this. And it's really a way to try to make youth football better and safer for the kids that are playing. Focuses on, not just concussion awareness and management, but really dives into some coaching education, other health and safety issues, and really working on equipment fitting, making sure the helmets fit properly. That's going to help limit movement.
So when a helmet is not fitting properly on a kid, what does that do?
Well, that just means that the head's going to move more when contact is made, made to the head, whether it's helmet to helmet, whether it's a kid hitting the ground. If that helmet's not fitted properly, the head's going to move more, and therefore the brain's going to move more, have a potential to, brain to rub up against the skull and, again, lead to, additional concussions that, if that helmet was fitted properly, would have avoided.
Right. Now, earlier we played a clip of the tackling technique, which is something teaching kids how to tackle is really, and I think it's something that the NFL should also adopt, because you see so many times hits are taken to the head. I know it's illegal now for any helmet-to-helmet contact to be involved at the NFL level. Can you talk about that tackling technique and the logistics of how you guys are teaching these kids how to tackle?
Yeah, definitely. And that's vital fundamentals to the game. That's really what heads-up football is focused around, is really having these coaches teach the proper technique and fundamentals throughout different kinds of tackles, tackle when someone's right in front of you, angle tackles when you're chasing somebody. Mm-hmm. And the main part is always keeping the head, out of contact as much as possible, eliminating unnecessary contacts to the head. And a lot of this takes place at practice when you're going over the drills. And then again, hopefully that leads into the game. But as far as the tackle, it really talks about hitting more with, the chest and shoulder instead of the head. The helmet was designed to, protect against skull fractures, not to deliver blows and make tackles. So we're trying to, make sure that coaches understand this so they can then teach their parents and players, and everyone's on really the same page of how to tackle using the chest and shoulder. A lot of it's focused on always keeping those eyes up where you're hitting and the head sliding up out of contact.
Now, I know, Mike, you're not a representative for the NFL, but are NFL players learning this now, or – Is this just a youth thing?
No. This is taught all the way up. Again, different athletes up there at the NFL level and the youth level. It's something they, I mean, I don't know if you've been out to some, you know, pro training camps before. I've been to a number of those where, yeah. And they sit there and they go through step-by-step tackling drills, you know, the basic fundamentals. I always tell youth commissioners I go see that, man, if all of their coaches can go watch a youth, you know, watch an NFL training camp, uh-huh. to understand, you know, the very basic fundamentals that they're teaching at that level. I mean, it, you know, really would impress those coaches and have give them an understanding of, you know, how to structure practices, how to, you know, make sure that we're starting at, you know, when we start tackle drills, you're 1 yard away from somebody just going through the motion, you know, right. not doing any kind of contact or anything.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Mike Cuzzoni, USA Football Regional Manager, Heads Up Football Representative. Now, what kind of response are you all receiving nationwide from this Heads Up Football program?
Oh, it's been phenomenal so far. I don't know if any of the listeners out there were watching the NFL draft and some of the NFL games this past year, but a lot more, you know, a lot more media coming from the NFL on Heads Up Football. And then, mm-hmm. you know, with everyone working, you know, here at USA Football, we're continually reaching out as much as we possibly can to, you know, anyone that plays youth football. You know, mainly this is 14 years old and younger, so pre-high school. And we are talking to them about this. You know, we set up meetings all around the country. And so far, I mean, we're looking like over 2,000 potential organizations wow. around the country are going to take part in this. And, you know, since you guys are based in Michigan there, I mean, Michigan is actually one of the top states right now. I mean, the number of the larger leagues, you know, we're talking leagues with, you know, 9,000 or 3,000, 2,000, you know, thousands of kids that are represented that have decided that, you know, this movement towards a better, safer game through Heads Up Football, you know, USA Football and the NFL is something that they want to do to enhance their program, to really make them stand out and really to show the parents that, I mean, they're the ones that decide if their kids play football or not. So they want to show them that they're doing everything they can, everything in their power to make the game better and safer for their kids.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Mike Cuzzoni, USA Football Regional Manager, Heads of Football Representative. Now, Mike, so with teams who want to get involved with this program, so they contact you guys, and what do you guys come out with representatives and kind of teach the fitting helmet and the techniques? So you guys actually come out and just teach the coaches and players this?
Yeah, there are two aspects to it. First is that every single coach in a Heads Up Football organization has to complete the level one coaching certification course. It's nationally accredited. 16 chapter course covers everything from, you know, concussion awareness and management to communicating with parents and players, setting up practice plans, mm-hmm. some other health and safety issues, as well as some football related, you know, X's and O's, you know, strategies, fundamentals and so forth. And then the other main part of Heads Up Football is that each organization nominates someone called a player safety coach. Mm-hmm. So this is one representative that will attend a USA Football. It will be a player safety coach training. They're held all over the country. I think we're going to have about 60 to 65 of these this year. Most of them are already set up. We're still trying to plan a few more. But then these player safety coaches attend, really focus on helmet equipment, you know, helmet fitting and shoulder pad fitting, going into concussion awareness and management, and then really going through heads-up tackling, walking through different drills, with the emphasis of us teaching the player safety coach, then for them to go back and work with their coaches, work with their parents and players. So, again, everybody is really on the same page, having a full understanding.
Right. Well, this is really great that this is so far, and it's so early that you guys are starting this, and you guys have had an overwhelming response. This is great. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Cuzzoni, USA Football Regional Manager, Heads Up Football Representative. Now, Mike, how do you respond to those moms out there who read about all the news and research about concussions and say, I don't know if I want to let my son participate in football?
No, definitely. And, I mean, first off, you can never blame a parent for caring too much about their kids. I mean, it's great.
You know how mama is, man.
They have that mentality, so, you know, that's good. What we're trying to do is just trying to educate them as much as we can. You know, when it comes down to it, it's a decision that they're going to have to make, but some of what they're hearing, you know, that's not the whole side of the story. So, you know, we're trying to, you know, teach them about the positives of football, and not only the positives, but, you know, how serious the, you know, concussion awareness is and other health and safety issues with the sport, and what we're doing to, you know, to alleviate that as much as we possibly can. I mean, you know, concussions are always going to be a part of football and any contact sport. but it's, you know, making sure that, you know, those unnecessary hits to the head, you know, getting, you know, removing those as much as we can, teaching the proper fundamentals, making sure that all the coaches are certified. You know, if a parent has a choice to join a league that has, you know, heads up football league with certified coaches and a trained player safety coach, or a, you know, just, you know, a non-heads up football league, now that parent most likely is going to choose that heads up football league because they feel like their kid's going to be in a safer environment, safer situation, and, you know, have a better experience plan.
It's all about being safe. So, Mike, how can people listening get in touch with you and get involved with this program?
Yeah, the best way right now is just to go to usafootball.com. You'll see heads up football banners everywhere right on the top of the home screen. Lots of information on heads up football. I know you played one of those tackling drills at the start of the segment.
Right.
That, you know, that's one of the five different, you know, the steps in the heads up tackle. So, you know, anyone can go on, take a look at the rest of those. Our contact info is on there, ways to sign up, get your organization started, and then, you know, starts with conversations with me and the other members of USA Football, and we can, you know, start rolling with it.
Sounds great. Mike Uzzone, USA Football Regional Manager and Heads Up Football Representative. Mike, thanks so much for coming on Current Sports, man. We'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks for having me out.
All right. Well, there you have it. Well, when we return to Current Sports, we will dive into our Current Sports section of the show. I'll let you know that we will be taking your calls at 1:40 p.m. Give us a call, people. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. And let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. And we want to know, would you let your son play football, knowing what you know about with concussions? I want to hear your thoughts on that. Call in. Stay tuned. More Current Sports is next.
John McCain makes a secret trip to Syria. The president tours the Jersey Shore. And as scandals mount at the White House, comparisons to previous administrations, Nixon, Carter, Bush, are picking up steam. I'm John Donvan. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins host Neil Conan for another round of Political Junkie. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 p.m.
Every weekday afternoon at 4, All Things Considered keeps you up to date on current events nationally and around the world. I inform you on what's happening at the state and local levels. Hi, I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered. Join me as we stay on top of the things that matter to you on All Things Considered, weekdays from 4 until 6 on AM 870 WKAR.
Good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Man, that was like some reggae Bob Marley type. I dig that, man. Shout out to my engineer, Aaron Young, for that one, man. But we just got done talking to Mike Cuzzoni, USA Football Regional Manager and Heads Up Football Representative, talking about concussions in sports. Mike, this new initiative with Heads Up Football, it just got started last summer. And it's really a cool program. They actually bring out representatives to your football team, whatever your local youth football team is. They come out. They make sure that helmets are fitted properly for all the players. They teach about what concussions are and the damage they can do later on down the line. And just a really cool program to really educate the youth on concussions, because it really is becoming a really a scary epidemic. If you look at it, I mean, just look at all the NFL. Former NFL players that are really going through things such as, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's disease. I mean, just really a lot of brain disorders. And, you know, Mike, in this program, Heads Up Football, you guys can get in touch with Heads Up Football by going to their website. Just Google Heads Up Football on Google.com. All the contact information and information about the program is on that website. Just really cool stuff to really keep your kid safe out there, who was out there playing football. So, and I really want to know your thoughts on whether or not you would let your son play football knowing the concussion risk that are out there. Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls at 1:40 on that. Would you let your son play football knowing what we know now about concussions and seeing, you know, the former NFL players who knowledge wasn't that great back in the day, who are really suffering now from a lot of those big hits over time. So give us a call. I want to hear your thoughts on that. But now it's time for Current Sports, giving you all of the sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. Yeah, that's you. All right, first off, Carlton Valentine. Yes, he is stepping down as Sexton's basketball coach. Carlton Valentine, really a storied figure here in Lansing when it comes to hoops. His resume, quite impressive. 140 wins, 32 losses throughout his career at Sexton. 5 league titles, 4 district titles, and under Valentine, Sexton at one point went to 3 straight championship games. Now, they lost their first visit there, but they would win 2 in a row in 2011 and 2012. I mean, Carlton has done a great job. He was, actually, when I started off reporting, he was the first. He was the first basketball coach I got a chance to interview in the Lansing area. And just such a classy guy who is all about teaching his kids the right way to play basketball from a team aspect. Great guy. Really sad to see him leave. He said he just doesn't have the same desire to go out there for another season and get ready for team camps and workouts and just that preparation that it takes to have a successful season as a basketball program in high school. So he just wants to spend more time with the family and attend more games. His son, of course, Denzel Valentine, plays for Michigan State. He wants to attend not just the home games. He's mostly at every home game, but he wants to attend the road games as well. Just really sad news. He will be missed, but he will still be in the area. He'll continue to work as the basketball training development coordinator over at Michigan Athletic Club. And I believe they actually have a summer camp coming up. Led by Carlton, registrations at the Michigan Athletic Club are going on right now. The camp dates are June 24th to the 27th, July 8th to the 11th, and July 29th to August 1st. This is a camp for the Michigan Athletic Club where Carlton is the camp's main instructor. So he's still going to be teaching kids. He's not done with that, of course, but he will no longer be the coach at Sexton. He will truly be missed, and wish him well on that. Carlton would actually be on this show. If not, later on this week, he'll be on next week. I got a chance to talk to him last night. So wish him the best on that. All right, guys. Really sad news. I'm sure this broke last night. One of the winningest quarterbacks in the history of college football, Cullen Finnerty, he was found dead yesterday around 8 p.m. He went missing on a fishing trip earlier this week with his family. And Cullen Finnerty, Grand Valley State University quarterback, his body was found at 8 p.m. in the woods a mile from where he supposedly disappeared out in northern Michigan. Really sad news. This really came out of nowhere. Finnerty led Grand Valley to 3 Division II national titles, and more than 50 wins. More than 50 wins. Unbelievable. During his 4 years at GVSU, those Division II titles came in 2003, 2005, and 2006. But, yes, Cullen Finnerty found dead yesterday at 8 p.m. in the woods. And a friend actually spoke to Finnerty before he went missing. And he told reporters that Finnerty seemed a bit nervous about something. They're not sure what. Now, when they found his body, they found no evidence of foul play, no gunshots or anything like that. So it's really really a mystery right now what happened. So the cause of death is unknown. Grand Valley football coach Matt Mitchell expressed his sorrow, stating that Finnerty was one of the most loyal teammates we've ever had. So, thoughts and prayers go out to the Finnerty family. We can only imagine what they're going through. This is one of those things that it's really tragic. It's a crazy world we live in, and you really have to just value life, man, because life could just be taken from you in an instant. So, again, one of the greatest college football quarterbacks to ever play, Cullen Finnerty of Grand Valley State University, was found dead. Okay, well, let's move on now to the Tigers, ladies and gentlemen. It was a pitcher's duel during the Tigers, Detroit Tigers, and Pittsburgh Pirates game last night at Comerica Park. The game went to the 11th inning. Pirates won 1-0 off a Neil Walker home run. Boy, yeah, it was something to see, man. Porcello was in a zone. It was a career best day for both pitchers, actually. Jeanmar Gomez and Tigers pitcher Rick Porcello, they, like I said, they were great. Gomez pitched seven scoreless innings before heading out of the game. That matched a career best for him. And Porcello pitched 8 innings, striking out 11 batters. Man, just listen to Jim Leland on Rick Porcello.
Well, I thought he was terrific. You know, that's probably as good as I've seen him mixing his pitches, good sinker, and changeup, breaking ball. I thought he was absolutely terrific.
Yes, the man was in a zone. Again, career best game for Porcello. 8 innings, 11 batters. Tigers don't get the win, though. Again, this is pushed into 11 innings. Neil Walker nailed one for a homer. Now, this is my neato stat of the day. The Tigers have struck out 10 or more batters 28 times so far. And that's the second highest total in franchise history behind last season's 50. That's pretty interesting. So, didn't know that. I read that today like, wow, really? It's pretty cool. So, Porcello was in his zone last night. And also want to note that the Cleveland Indians fell to the Cincinnati Reds yesterday 8-2. Cleveland has now dropped 5 straight games. Whoa, that's matching their season high. And they've lost 7 out of 8 games, guys. And if you remember, this losing streak really, really started with that 2-game series last week with the Tigers. So the Tigers now lead the AL Central by 3.5 games. They're pulling away, guys. The Indians have to wake up here, but that's a good thing. So, again, Porcello, career night. Jeanmar Gomez, career night for him. He's in the Tigers win. All right, Red Wings, yes. Are you excited? I'm excited. My stomach's bubbling right now thinking about it. The Detroit Red Wings. Maybe that was that pizza I just ate. I don't know. But Detroit Red Wings, the Chicago Blackhawks, go at it in Game 7 of the Western Conference Semis tonight. 8 p.m., get to a TV. You do not want to miss this one. It's always exciting when it comes to NHL playoffs in a Game 7. I will definitely be glued to my TV. Now, the Wings, you know, they gave up 2 straight games after taking a commanding 3-1 series lead. Series tied, of course. Jimmy Howard, he's been great. But Nicholas Cornwall, we have a bite from him about tonight.
Absolutely, you know, I thought we did a pretty good job against Anaheim, and now we're back in on the road playing Game 7. So we've been there before. Now we just got to do it again.
Yes, that was Nicholas Cornwall weighing in on tonight on Game 7. Jimmy Howard, who has been great all series, we'll see if he can continue that magic. Jonathan Toews woke up. He's the star for the Blackhawks now, star captain, actually. So we'll see how he performs tonight. And last night, the Los Angeles Kings, they advanced to the Western Conference Finals after beating the Sharks 2-1 last night. That's right, Justin Williams scored 2 goals in the second period. So now the LA Kings, they are in the Western Conference Finals, awaiting the winner of tonight's game. Red Wings and Blackhawks, here we go. Man, it's going to be exciting, guys. Game 7, it's in Chicago. We'll see if it's all about energy, though. If the Tigers come out with energy, I mean, I said the Tigers. If the Red Wings come out with energy, excuse me, it should be, I can see the Red Wings pulling out this one. But it's a crazy atmosphere in Chicago when you're playing the Blackhawks. You know, that advantage of being at home definitely plays in their favor. But, you know, you just got to take it game by game. And I think the Red Wings can definitely pull this one off. But we'll see. But, yeah, last night with the L.A. Kings, though, Jonathan Quick made 25 saves. The defending champs, they finished off this agonizing even series with their 14th consecutive home victory over the past 2 months. L.A. really rolling, including 7 straight in the postseason. So, Kings await the winner of tonight's Wings and Blackhawks. That should be fun. MSU track and field. Yeah, they send 12 to Nationals, guys. Now, that includes the women's 4x400 meter relay team. They qualify for the national meet for the first time since 1983. The team of sophomores, I believe they deserve to be named. Jaleesa Wesney, Alicia Evans, Jalen Pryor, and redshirt senior Allison Bodebach. They punched their ticket to Nationals with a season best time of 3:36.39. Man, that's pretty good. So congrats to them. Also qualifying in the 5,000-meter run was freshman Caleb Renard. He posted a time of 14:04.47 to advance in his first national championship meet. He is one of only 3 freshmen to qualify in the event. Congrats to Caleb. Now, these 12 members of the team will travel to Eugene, Oregon to compete at the NCAA Outdoor Championships June 5th through the 8th. Wish them all the luck in the world. Congrats to the MSU track and field team doing big things. All right, last night, did you catch the Heat and Pacers? Yes, the Miami Heat fall. Yep, I say it again. The Miami Heat fall to the Indiana Pacers, 99-92. Wow, it was a great game if you watched it, too. The series is now tied up at 2 games apiece. And when I look at this game, something that really stuck out to me, ladies and gents, the Heat need a big man. They have no inside presence whatsoever. Chris Bosh, they have him playing that primary role in the paint. I mean, the man is skinny. You know, just going down there and banging is not Chris Bosh's game. So, just look at the amount of points in the paint for the Pacers compared to the Heat. Roy Hibbert had 23 points and 12 rebounds along with David West. David West and Roy Hibbert completely dominated down there. 49-30. That's how much they controlled the glass compared to the Heat. 49-30 in favor of Indiana, and they outscored the Heat by 18 points in the paint. 18 points. It was ridiculous. They had no answer for Roy Hibbert and David West. And if you want to beat the Heat, you got to 1, be physical, and you got to 2, attack the lane. And that's exactly what they're doing right now. Now, LeBron James was spectacular. I mean, when isn't LeBron James spectacular? Now, he led the Heat with 24 points, and he actually fouled out, guys. Yes, LeBron James never fouls out. But he fouled out, especially in the playoffs. But he fouled out with 56 seconds to go. And it really looked like, if you look at this, Lance Stephenson set a screen. And, not Lance Stephenson. LeBron set a screen. And Lance Stephenson was trying to come through it. And he kind of just ran into LeBron a little bit. Didn't look like a foul at all. Like I said, the NBA has become very soft. But afterwards, LeBron James talked about the foul.
I didn't believe it was offensive foul. I was going to set a screen, and I felt like I was stationary. I was, and D-Wade rejected the pick and roll, and Lance actually ran into me. I believe I was straight up and down on Paul George drive on the and-one. Hibbert, they reversed the call with Hibbert. Called a foul for me on that one, and also at the end of the third, they called a push off on me on David West at the end of the third. So it was a couple, calls that I didn't feel like, were fouls, personal fouls on me. But that's how the game goes sometimes.
Yeah, if you really look at that play, like I said, LeBron James comes up, tried to set a screen. Lance Stephenson, and I also got to know Lance Stephenson. Where has this man come from? You should have seen this guy last night. I mean, he was a one-man show. I remember there was a few plays. Lance got the rebound, And it's just like he's just playing one-on-five, just grabs the rebound, runs and sprints all the way down the court, and throws up a crazy layup, and it goes in. He was doing it all night. It was unbelievable. He was just taking shots left and right. And now me, I've been a eternal criticizer of Lance Stephenson because, I mean, I think the guy's a turnover machine. I mean, he just throws up crazy shots. Like I said, that's his game, though. I mean, he'll grab a rebound, sprint down the court, you know, like Wildy Coyote, and just throw up some craziness, and it goes in. It's unbelievable, man. But he was doing it last night, and the ball was dropping for him. He had 20 points. Hitting shots left and right. I mean, if he continues to perform like that, man, it's going to be tough to the Heat. I mean, he couldn't guard him. But anyway, if you look at that screen, though, I really didn't think LeBron, I didn't think he deserved a foul on that. Really a lot of questionable officiating throughout that entire game. But that's the NBA. It's bad officiating. It's just a bad makeup when it comes to officiating the calls they call. And I remember there was one time when the ball clearly hit the rim, and they didn't reset the shot clock, and then they gave the ball to the Heat. I mean, it was just a lot. It was just a mess last night. But unbelievable. But anyway, just one more aspect to this whole LeBron fiasco. Joe Theismann weighed in about LeBron the other day and said that, "I would love to work," quote, "I would love to work him out and also serve as his agent." Theismann thinks that LeBron James would be one great quarterback. That's right. Joe Theismann said that. He thinks LeBron would be a pretty impressive quarterback if he was to play. He says, quote, "I'll go wherever he wants this summer. He could play another 4 years in the NBA before seriously trying the NFL. There are not a lot of 38 or 39-year-old basketball players, but there are 38 and 39-year-old quarterbacks. So there's always time for him," end quote. Now, I don't know if Theismann was serious with this statement, Or was he just jokingly saying this because of LeBron? He's just such a phenom. But I don't know about him. I don't know, man. I've never seen LeBron throw a football in my life. But the great Joe Theismann, I should say, weighing in on that. So that's kind of funny. Get a chance and Google that story when you get a chance. All right, ladies and gents. Well, we have to move on to our last segment of Current Sports. We are going to take your calls about any of the topics discussed today. 517-355-9527 again. 517-355-9527. We want to get your thoughts on whether or not would you let your kid play football knowing what you know about concussions now? Let us know. Hit me up on Facebook or facebook.com/currentsports. Even tweet me a question. We want to hear from you. Stick around. More Current Sports is next.
On the next Fresh Air, how opioid painkillers came to be used in the treatment of chronic pain, like back problems, and what the consequences have been. We talk with New York Times reporter Barry Meyer, author of the new ebook, A World of Hurt, Fixing Pain Medicine's Biggest Mistake. And John Powers tells us about his favorite films at the Cannes Film Festival. Join us.
Welcome. Oh, that's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
I'm WKAR's Mark Bayshore. 7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat. From government to the arts, sports to education, from business to travel, it's all got a home. It's Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 FM and at noon on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm Al Martin. It's that time where we hear from you. That's right. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We want to hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. We talked about anything that's on your mind. A lot going on in the sporting world. And we talked with Mike Cuzzoni at the beginning of the show, USA Football Regional Manager. heads of football representative, and he talked about concussions in sports. And heads of football, really a pretty cool program, talking about just really educating the youth who play football about concussion risk. And they actually come out to whatever team wants them to come out. And like I said, they hold these seminars about the youth about concussion risk. They resize helmets for the kids. They teach you the new technique that they're trying to teach people and spread the word about how to tackle and minimize the risk of head injuries in the game of football. Really cool stuff. So, and like you said, concussions are one of those topics that is really kind of touchy, because as time has gone on and knowledge has been gained about what concussions could possibly do to you physically, it's really something that that a lot of parents have kind of shied away from when it comes to letting their kid play. So we want to hear your thoughts. Would you let your kid play football? We want to hear your thoughts. 517-355-9527. In the meantime, it is Barbershop. Yeah, not Wednesday. Oh, it is Wednesday. Yeah, I'm talking about it is Wednesday. I keep thinking it's Thursday, guys. It's Barbershop Wednesday. So you know what that means. I bring in my production assistants, Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke, and we go at it about a topic. Now, a very interesting topic that has really been on all of our minds, and we've been waiting for this for quite a while, is why do athletes go broke? That's right. I don't know if you guys have seen the one of the latest ESPN 30 for 30 documentaries. It shows athletes just, and tons of athletes. It really opened my eyes to see a lot of athletes who have gone broke. I mean, guys like, I mean, you talk about like Donovan McNabb, and you talk about Andre Rison, Allen Iverson, T.O. even had to file for bankruptcy, Terrell Owens, that is, Eddie Curry, Barry Bonds. I mean, these guys are, come on, man, you're making millions and you're going bankrupt. So we're going to dive into why do athletes go broke? Who wants to go first?
Alex, you seem pretty passionate about this.
Yeah. Alex is very passionate about this.
I think there's actually a reason why a lot of these athletes go broke. And it's funny because a lot of those reasons don't fall with some of the athletes you named. My main point of this is that the reason athletes go broke is because of either family or they've just got a significant other. They've got a lady, you know? They've got a woman. And let me just give you a couple examples. Mike Tyson. A lot of the reasons why he went broke is because of his divorce. He had a sexual assault case. Why did he have a sexual assault case? Significant other. Something gets intertwined. Now, I'm not saying here that, you know, Mike Tyson, don't get married, don't have a girlfriend or else you'll go broke. But what I am saying is sometimes these things are unavoidable. You guys know. Sometimes you like a girl and it just happens. And the listeners back home, let's look at Chad Johnson. He's got kids, multiple exes. How about Kenny Anderson? $60 million in ex-wives. I mean, you can go on and on about Alex. How much woman and family have destroyed athletes.
So you're blaming this. So basically, Alex, you're saying women are the reason athletes go broke. Women and family.
One of the reasons.
Okay, I got it. I got it. Come on. All right. This comes down to one word. Stupidity.
There it is.
These athletes, they get paid millions of dollars. A lot of them come from backgrounds that They've never had this type of money before. I mean, then again, who's had millions before? So they come to the league and they get these million dollars, and it's new to them, and they kind of lose their mind. They see all these women out of nowhere flocking. That's not a reason. Okay, the women are there, of course, but you are a grown man. You choose to spend that money the way you want to spend it. If you're making that kind of money, first of all, you should have a financial planner. If you don't listen to that financial planner, some of them do and actually still go broke because they don't listen to that financial planner.
And you know, some of the financial planners are their own family.
Yeah, and that's a problem. Then, like I said, then you got family members coming out of the woodworks. I mean, but you are a grown, this is my point, you are a grown man. You're not 7 years old, 8 years old, where your mommy's holding your hand everything you do. You are a grown man. There's a level of responsibility that you have to understand once you get onto a stage, a professional stage, as a LeBron or as a Barry Bonds, as all these athletes I'm saying have gone bankrupt. You have to be responsible, and that's just carelessness, man. I don't want to hear it. I'm not listening to some millionaire baby guy crying about him who's filed for bankruptcy, because you are a grown man. You are responsible for that. I laugh at you.
All right. Now, I'm going to kind of split the difference here between you two. I'm not going to go quite, you know, anti-family, anti-spouse like Alex did. I think there's definitely a few factors. You know, one of them is just it's too much too soon. These guys, you know, some of these NBA guys, 1 year in college,
right,
enter the league. You know, as a 20-year-old, you make $15 million a year. Like, that's, you know, or, you know, just throwing that number out there. But that's a lot of money that clearly you have no idea how to handle. And, you know, the other thing is there's just this culture, and whether it's, you know, I don't think there's any episodes of MTV Cribs that are checking out, you know, a modest two-bedroom apartment. You know, these guys see on TV that their peers are going out and blowing $20 million on a house, you know, $10 million on cars and stuff. And then that kind of line of thinking that says, I can spend and spend and spend, they don't have perspective. You know, if you have $20 million as a 20-year-old and – you know, your career is going to end at, you know, by the time you're 30, probably, you're not planning for your entire life. Most of these guys are just planning for, I'm going to live this lifestyle for as long as I can, but that's not sustainable. They don't have anywhere to turn to get more income after football or after whatever sport they're playing. Once their career is over, you see a lot of these guys making terrible business decisions, which is
bad,
like one of, you know, Curt Schilling, you know, great pitcher for many years, had a long, long career. Blew all of his money in video games.
That's
you know, had to file for bankruptcy.
The funny thing about
it's ridiculous.
That, well, the funny thing about the video games is, you guys remember MVP Baseball? Maybe
a little bit.
In my opinion, was
great
probably
game.
One of the better baseball games of all time. When it went out in 05, I think that's why Curt Schilling was investing, because he just wanted to bring back an MVP style or MVP-esque kind of game.
And the thing is, you know, you're a professional athlete, so all your life you've been interested in athletics, and all your life you've succeeded, and you've done amazingly well if you're making it all the way to the pros, so you kind of get this line of thinking in your head that I can do anything. If I want to open up a restaurant, yeah, it's going to be the best restaurant in the city, but the thing is, you don't know anything about owning restaurants. You don't
Not
know anything. You know, you've been playing football all your life. You know, you should be pretty good. But you don't have any experience in these other fields that they're trying to, you know, dab into, and then it winds up biting them, and they lose it all.
Exactly, and I think that's a very good point, because if you look at the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary, it talked about athletes who kind of get suckered into those little. Okay, open up a restaurant. You can earn money on this way. You know, got to have a backup plan. Like, you know, just people come out of nowhere, just kind of pitching these deals to them, and they kind of fall for it. And now it's pretty cool story. I was reading, and Klay Thompson, you guys know Klay Thompson of the Golden State right. Warriors. Guess who's managing his money right now? His mama. Yes, she is making sure. She is the number one financial planner in his life, and his mom has say on everything he spends. And he actually gave her a share to put in the bank to make sure he doesn't touch that money. So, I mean. And the other thing I was reading about is athletes have seminars when they come in to learn, and they teach them about this stuff on how to manage your money. Now, whether you want to sleep through the thing and not pay attention, that's on you. And like I said, and ultimately, it comes down to responsibility, because if you know you're making this amount of money, and I understand there's temptation out there. These guys are athletes. I mean, like you said, you got women, you got drugs out there. I mean, if you look at the way Lawrence Taylor actually filed for bankruptcy, one of his big things was drugs. He was spending, blowing his money on cocaine all
the
time.
Right.
So it's a lot of temptation out there. But as a man, you have to take responsibility of your actions and say, hey, I know what I can spend. I know what I can't spend.
Right.
And that's what it comes down to for me.
And
just
funny,
common sense for me.
Funny that you mentioned about Klay Thompson, because Arantxa Sánchez Vicario, former women's number one, actually trusted her father to spend all of her $38 million in earnings to invest in the right things, and then he lost all the money. But you know what, guys? I'm just going to go back at you, because I just don't understand a lot of your defense, your accusations, because if you look at most businessmen here that open up restaurants, look at Michael Jordan's Steakhouse. Did he know anything about restaurants before?
Okay, Michael
Probably
Jordan's
not.
A bad example.
That's
Michael
a,
Jordan
but,
could
yeah.
sell
right,
his
no, but what
dirty
I'm,
laundry and
no,
people
no,
would
no,
pay
no.
millions.
Yeah, he's Michael Jordan.
What I'm saying is, a lot of the people that do invest in businesses outside of sports, regular businessmen don't have experiences in business before then. So with that said, you can't foresee the future.
Yeah,
who
but,
would think
but
that
regular businessmen aren't coming in
right,
with
exactly.
$80 million that they already have
some
from
of them
other
are.
Business
right.
ventures. But yeah, but they've been making their money, you know, cutting their teeth in some sort of field where they're, you know, just conjuring them away. They're not playing a game.
They're not
that's
playing
not,
a game.
You know, that's apples
Come on
and oranges,
now.
I feel like.
All Come
right,
on
I've got some. I've got some stats. 60% of NBA players go bankrupt within 5 years of retiring, and that number is 78% for NFL players. So it's like...
Wow.
A widespread epidemic, almost. It's just,
it's sad.
If it's more than 20%, but if it's more than 50%, that's a serious problem. And for you know these NFL guys, 3.5 year career on average, and that's skewed a little bit because a lot of guys kind of you know try and make the team and don't stick. But you're only making $6 million total, and if you have a lifestyle of an NFL player, I mean, I feel like I always hear stories about teams go out to dinner. They put their credit cards in a bag or something, and whoever picks, you know, whoever's card gets picked out
right,
has to
right.
buy dinner. If I'm filling a $3,000 dinner tab, I'm losing my mind. But these guys do it like it's nothing.
Like it's nothing. Like
and,
it's normal.
You know,
and that's a problem.
You
and
can't
think,
live like that.
Right. And another thing is, going back, I'm going to go back to the women because.
Oh, please do.
Women are everywhere, and they come from nowhere. You know, let's be real now, guys. These are called the groupies. These are called the groupies who are hanging around, knocking on your hotel door after a
chasing
game.
Chasing jerseys.
Just chasing jerseys.
Jersey chasers. Okay.
Jersey chasers. They're everywhere. And you as a man have to decide and be smart about how you carry yourself in that type of atmosphere. You know, it's funny. I was looking at something about Kobe Bryant. Now, granted, Kobe Bryant did get into that mess in Colorado. But when he was a rookie, Kobe was kind of socially awkward because he didn't go to college. He wasn't used to hanging out with the fellas. While Rick Fox and Shaq and they were going out to the club, Kobe was actually in his hotel room watching film. It's pretty interesting. As opposed to a guy like Michael Jordan, this is in Phil Jackson's book, actually. As a guy like Michael Jordan who went to college, who was in a fraternity, I mean, Jordan was a very social guy. So in a way that hindered Kobe's chemistry with his teammates. But at the same time, Kobe was very smart financially because he didn't want to go. He wasn't out there blowing his money. So the lifestyle you live, guys, my point is the lifestyle you live and choose to live, that's on you, and you have full responsibility over that.
Of course, but as you guys know, sometimes you have a girl, you may think she's the one, it doesn't work out. How do you foresee that, even if she's not a jersey chaser, that sometimes it's just a facet of life? A woman may not work out.
Yeah,
you
but this is my point, though. A lot of these guys are messing with these women and having babies by them.
Yep.
Then you
got to
pay child support, and that's taking out most
right,
of the
right.
check.
No, I get that. But
Travis Henry, 9 kids with 9 different mothers.
Come on, son.
Oh, no, I get that.
Nuts.
No, but then there are the quote-unquote gold diggers, the girls that will evilly get in there, steal
evilly.
The fortune away.
Evilly. With great malice.
Hey, let's hear from the divorcees
out
there.
You as a man... You make your own decisions at the end of the day. And if you choose to indulge and really act with no kind of, how should I say, responsibility or accountability for your actions, that's on you, man. I'm not crying for you.
You know what? I'd like to hear from the men divorcees out there and get their opinions on if they think women can be the problem. Because I guarantee you a lot of them would.
Somehow I don't. Think they're going to be an unbiased source and they're talking
hey,
about their
ex-wives. They're a person with money.
Yeah.
That'll be funny. So any divorcees, as Alex said, call in. Well, we don't have any time.
Hey, next week. Next
fun.
Barbershop Wednesday.
I love Barbershop Wednesdays, guys. This is always fun. All right. Well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, thanks guys for being a part. I love Barbershop Wednesdays.
Barbershop Wednesdays.
We should have Barbershop Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Just Barbershop all day. All right.
Man.
Oh, man. All right. Those are my production assistants, Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky. My intern, Mike Corey, along with my engineer, Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKR. Thanks to Mike Guzzoni, representative from Heads Up Football, for joining us. Thanks for tuning in, folks, and have a fantastic day. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing.